Live from Ann Arbor, Michigan, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
Good evening and welcome to Veterans Radio on this rainy Sunday in Michigan. There's a lot of things that have been going on in the news lately, and we're going to be addressing those. And one thing I wanted to tell our listeners out there on our internet connection, the station that we internet stream from cannot play the other syndicated programs that are carried by the station, and so there's going to be a loop of music in there. So if you try to tune into our website or to WHAM's website during a syndicated program or the Detroit Lions or something along those lines, you're probably just going to hear a loop of music. And that's because it's contractual. They can't play those other programs during that time period. And the other incident question that we got was some of our archived programs. If you go to the veteransradio.net website and go to our archived programs, some of our older ones, especially back in 2005, were being carried on another server. And we have to reload those into our archives because that server no longer provides us with that service. So we will be doing that over the next couple of weeks. So those of you that were trying to listen to our program back in June on PTSD, we'll get that uploaded again as soon as we possibly can. All right, moving right along. I'm going to do our welcome home segment, and each week on Veterans Radio, we like to welcome home servicemen and women who have been stationed around the world in the service of our country. And Welcome Home is sponsored by Gary Lillian Associates, Commercial Realtors. Give Gary a call at 800-345-6694 or visit Gary on the web at GaryLilly.com and tell him that you heard about him on Veterans Radio. We're welcoming home this week. We have a whole list since we weren't on last week. Number one. These are Marines. The 3rd Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion has returned home to 29 Palms in California. The 406th Corps Support Battalion of the Army Reserves has returned home to Evansville, Indiana. The 1st Battalion, 77th Field Artillery Task Force Falcon has returned to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. The Forward 5, 228th Signal Brigade of the South Carolina National Guard celebrated their homecoming just the other day at the University of South Carolina upstate campus. And finally, some local soldiers have returned home to Marionette, Wisconsin. And the reason I'm bringing this one up is not only did they welcome home their troops that are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, but they also welcomed home every retired veteran in the area. Which was a great party, it sounds like. And so we want to welcome them on home, all of them home. And on behalf of Veterans Radio, we want to welcome all of you troops home.
The military is the last honorable profession. Those people have taken a vow that, if necessary, they will give up their life for our country. That's not give up part of their pay or give up some vacation days. They will give up their life for our country. Those words were delivered at a national convention of Vietnam Veterans of America by Vietnam veteran Captain Dale Dye, United States Marine Corps retired, and military consultant to Hollywood luminaries Tom Hanks, Oliver Stone, and many others. My name is Gary Lilly, and as a proud Vietnam veteran, I ask, can we do any less than support the brave men and women in today's military? Gary Lilly and Associates Realtors is proud to sponsor this segment of the Veterans Radio. For your commercial real estate and vacant land needs, go to www.GaryLilly.com or call 800-345-6694. Gary Lilly and Associates Realtors.
This is Dale Thronberry, and I want to welcome a new sponsor to Veterans Radio, Quantum Physical Therapy, located at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti Township, right off I-94 at exit 183. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. Their core business is orthopedic and sports physical therapy, but they will also provide extensive occupational and pain management services for you. How many of you are suffering from some sort of chronic pain? If you are, then you're one of the millions of people our age who just live with the pain. I strongly suggest you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. That's 734-483-9200. They are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with specific solutions for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, surgery, or trauma of any kind, they can help you to continue to lead a productive and fulfilling life. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at qptherapy.com. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and joining me in the studio this evening is Mark Linke, Director of the Washtenaw County Veterans Services. Mark, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate the opportunity to come back on the show. I want to briefly thank you for that opportunity, and maybe your listening audience. I want to get our phone number out there right away so if they can grab a piece of paper and a pencil so that if for some reason there's a question that they have and we can't answer it during the show or they want to contact our office, I'll give them that number. I wanted to just comment on how we do appreciate the chance to kind of market our services. Bob Gunzel, the county administrator, frequently refers to county government as the silent government, in that people probably know a little bit more about what their local townships do for them, as well as the state and certainly the federal government. Clearly, the county government is in there, and we do provide an awful lot of services to the residents of our counties. And in that same frame, Veteran Services is probably one of the silent departments, if you will, within county government. So, again, we thank you for allowing us to promote the services that we provide to the veterans and the veterans community around this area.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. Also, the other thing I wanted to mention was that we do want to offer our program, if you want to put it that way, to all the other VSOs out there, the Veteran Service Organizations,
certainly,
that can help out veterans getting their claims taken care of or benefits, whatever they're entitled to. So if anybody out there is interested in coming on the program and talking about the services that they provide, you can also give us a call at that toll-free number, which I'll give again right now if you want to ask your question here, which is 866-477-9100, or you can call us here at WAM at 734-822-1600. I also wanted to make sure that I introduce Michael Smith, who is a County Veterans Service Officer. And, Michael, I want to welcome you back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, it's real good to be here, and we've done this collaboration in the past several times, and it's always a joy to be here. You always have the veterans' issues at the forefront, and we certainly appreciate what you do here on Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. All right, so as I asked you earlier, what's going on in the world of veterans affairs right now? Who's going to want us to go first?
Let me start out by putting our number out there. It's 734-973-4540 will reach our office. And again, on behalf of Michael and myself and the three other members of our staff, we thank you for the opportunity. I think that probably some of the more recent information or items that are of interest to veterans and their family members are a lot of what was in the press surrounding some of the recent surveys and studies that were done centering on claims for PTSD or for individual unemployability, the recent security issues that came up. I'm unaware of any incident that actually a security breach that occurred as a result of that theft. I do know that the VA had gone through extensive rework and research to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So I'm hopeful that they've learned a lesson from that. The outreach efforts that were done with regard to the surveys that showed that certain areas of the country were underserved in terms of their ability to get disability compensation, that had been addressed. That's something that locally through the regional office in Detroit, they saw a huge spike in claims received. We view that as a good thing. The downside, of course, is that with that many more claims in the process, there's a bit more of an extension on the processing time. But the outreach effort worked. We've seen some positive results out of that in terms of disability compensation claims being increased. We anticipate that that's going to be kind of a long-term process that they're going through right now. But those were some positive things that came.
On the increase in filings, I guess, for disability claims is what you're talking about with the project outreach. That was what that was geared for?
Yeah, there was a special outreach effort that Congress mandated that the Department of Veteran Affairs engage in to reach out to a six-state area. Those six states being identified as having veterans that per capita were receiving benefits from the Department of Veteran Affairs that was below the national average. Connecticut, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, I think Pennsylvania was in there. Mm-hmm. There were the six state area. That outreach effort started in the late spring. And what they did is the Department of Veteran Affairs mailed letters to veterans in the state of Michigan identifying that if you're currently receiving benefits from us, you may be entitled to an increase in your benefits. And then they did another mailing, reaching out to veterans in the state and inviting them. If you've never received benefits from the Department of Veteran Affairs, you should inquire and look into applying. So as a result of that effort that was done by the Department of Veteran Affairs, we did see a spike in claims for increase and original claims for disability compensation.
That's good, because I know there was, rumors flying around that you wanted to be a little careful about that, because some, the rumor was that if they revisit your case, you may end up getting less money.
Well, there's always the possibility. Whenever you reopen a claim, there's the potential for the three things can happen, and two of them would be viewed as positive, one of them a negative, and that is that they would suggest that there'd be a reduction. That would only occur if, in fact, the disability improved. And,
right.
And I think that that clearly was not the intent of the outreach effort. But we were kind of guarded about that, and that's why we were pleased with the fact that the VA partnered with us as county counselors in that in the letters that went out to the individuals and encouraged them to contact not only the VA but the county counselors in their area to make sure that that part of the claim process was reviewed. Just to put a little finer note on it, when the letters were mailed out in April of this year, they showed 750 more claims in May. And then there were, in June of this year, there were 1,200 claims over those that they received in May. And the last couple of months, there's been an additional 500 claims. This is just in the Arrow in Detroit. So it gives you an idea of the impact it had. But again, the daunting task, the VA now has to review those claims, schedule exams for those individuals, and then work them through the process along with all the other claims that they receive on a regular basis.
Which is another issue that we run into because the VA budget hasn't increased enough to hire the additional staff that would be needed to do that. Is that right?
Well, actually, Detroit has been able to make a pretty solid case for a need for more personnel. Detroit's a regional office that we have an opportunity to go to at least once a month and sit in on briefings that they hold at the service center manager's level. And since, I think, within the last 12 months, they've been able to hire 35 new employees. Again, that's a positive because in time, they'll be able to actually do that work. Right now, they're all in training mode,
right,
which draws from some of the more experienced staff to help train them, which initially adds a little bit to the delay in the claims. So they were able, as I say, to demonstrate a true need for it based on a workload. And they got the funding they needed to do that. They also were authorized to do some overtime to try and catch up on some of their work.
Was there a window on filing these claims?
No, there's never any restrictions on filing a claim for disability compensation. You can do it at any time. Obviously, it's to your advantage to make an application sooner than later, simply because of the longevity associated with some disabilities, the ability to show treatment records for it. It's just our experience has been that those that seem to wait longer, and historically World War II veterans were a good example of people that waited because their mindset, if you will, at the time was, I did what my country asked me to do. I'm back home. I'm going to get on with my life. I only hurt my knee. It's not a big deal. It becomes a big deal over time, and at some time in the future they file a claim. We still can have success prosecuting that claim, but again, I would encourage veterans to make those applications much sooner than later.
I was going to say, I don't have a disability that I'm aware of, although people will say I can't hear anything, but I finally got into the system, and we were talking earlier, it took me a long time just to get my initial physical in there, and then they had to recommend that I get the hearing test, which I just completed, and now we're going to wait for the results of that. Entirely. And one of the other things that we talked about is that the older people are, the World War II veterans especially, are looking into the VA as one place where they can get their prescriptions drug at a reasonable cost to them. And that it takes a long time for them to get into the system, so they might want to get in there as soon as they can.
Right. The recent studies that were done through the VISN, which is the Integrated Network on the Veterans Health Administration side of the house, shows that when they created these C-Box and they went out into the communities to try and do outreach, it's a community-based outreach clinic, they set them up for just pretty basic stuff. And they're realizing now that over 50% of the visits they receive are from seniors. Mm-hmm. And they weren't necessarily prepared to respond to that. And they're taking another look at how they deliver services through CBOX now because of the aging population. The fact that you were able to get in and see somebody at the hospital, you saw your general practitioner,
right,
who then will make a referral to a specialty clinic.
Correct.
And that's kind of where the rub is right there, getting people timely into the clinics, the different mm-hmm. clinics, depending on their needs.
Well, I do have to say, in all honesty, about the at least the Ann Arbor VA hospital here, is that once I did get my physical and got in there, I got seen at quickly. I didn't wait hours or anything along those lines. I mean, if I had a 9 o'clock appointment, I got there at 8:40. I was done at 9:30, and so I was very pleased with that. You know, with all the stories that you hear about waiting and sitting and so on and so forth. And I would love to see the outreach programs succeed because there are so many people there that were from really far away.
Right.
You know.
And it's important to be able to deliver those services. And when the VA made their concerted effort to go over to more of an outpatient as opposed to tertiary care inpatient services, that's what the design was, to try and have some sort of a VA facility within, I think it was 30 minutes or 30 miles of a veteran in his community. If I can make one quick point about the importance of veterans seeking that treatment, I want it specifically to Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom veterans, that they need to know that regardless of the nature of the disability, there is health care available to them for 24 months from date of separation or date of redeployment back here.
That's date of separation, yes.
For them to seek that care through the VA healthcare system at no charge, again, regardless of the nature of the disability.
Does this cover their family also?
No, that's specific to the veteran, and it's based on the fact that they were in that that theater of operation, OIF, OEF veterans.
Right, and in most cases, family members will probably be covered under TRICARE for 180 days after separation. So there is some health care coverage that will be continued on the dime of the Department of Defense. But as we know, most veteran-related benefits that we are aware of are specifically for veterans, and that does include health care.
Okay. Well, I think that's very good to know, and because I'm assuming, that the troops, when they go overseas, are covered, that their families are covered and so forth.
Absolutely.
By the military.
That's correct.
And, the idea of being able to have coverage when they got home is really important because a lot of these, even though they're promised their employment and their jobs back, there are incidents where it doesn't necessarily happen right now. And I think that, that safety net is really important to them. You had some other issues that we wanted to talk about. And let's move on to that one then.
Well, I think one of the most important things that we like to mention are those things that most people don't know about. And most people are not aware that veterans who served in the Republic of Korea from April of 1968 to July of 1969, and they were in the demilitarized zone, the DMZ, the Department of Veteran Affairs has a list of units that they recognize were stationed on the DMZ during that period of time. And the reason why that's important is because the military used Agent Orange. They used the herbicide defoliant on the DMZ during that period of time. And so those veterans whose military service records verify that they were in Korea during that period and that they were assigned to the specific list of units that the VA has recognized were on the DMZ, and they, like our Vietnam veterans, develop any one of the presumptive medical conditions related to exposure to Agent Orange, they can receive service-connected disability compensation in the same manner.
What were those dates again?
April of 1968 to July of 1969. Now, the list of units has been out there for quite some time, but the Department of Veteran Affairs recently released additional units that were added to the list. So for those red legs out there, Army dogs, if you remember yourself in the 1st Battalion 12th Artillery, 1st Battalion 15th Artillery, 7th Battalion 17th Artillery, 5th Battalion 38th Artillery, or the 6th Battalion 37th Artillery, your units were just added to the list. And then let's go to our infantry ground pounders, the 1st Battalion 31st Infantry, which was assigned to the 7th Infantry Division, the 1st Battalion 32nd Infantry, also assigned to the 7th Infantry Division, and the 2nd Battalion 32nd Infantry, of the 7th Infantry Division was also added to the list. The crew of the USS Pueblo and the United Nations Command Security Battalion Joint Security Area, they are just added to that list. Ironically, I had a gentleman who was assigned to the 1st Battalion, 32nd Infantry, come to see me about 3 years ago. And he knew he was on the DMZ, yet his unit had not been added to that list. Mm-hmm. And I called the Center for Unit Records and Research out of Fort Belvoir, Virginia. They had a unit history for that unit for 1969, and it showed that they were on the DMZ from the period of April to July of 1969. This veteran's military personnel record showed him arriving to the unit in May, and mm-hmm. he went directly to the DMZ. He developed diabetes, and I was able to get him service-connected disability compensation based on that, even before his unit was added to this list. So for those veterans who were in Korea, you know you're on the DMZ between April of 68 and July of 69, and your unit is not on that list, we can still work the magic.
Well, yeah. A quick question for you, because we're just coming up toward the bottom of the hour here, but I don't want to stump any of you, but can you think of maybe four or five major problems that Agent Orange is not necessarily responsible for, but that they're crediting to being exposed to it?
Well, there's probably 11 or 12 that are on a presumptive list. The mm-hmm. one that jumps out immediately is the most recent one, or actually... There have been some since then, but diabetes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Adult type diabetes.
Adult onset?
Adult onset type diabetes mellitus 2, mm-hmm. as it's diagnosed. Clearly, for in-country Vietnam vets, presumed to be service-connected as a result of exposure to herbicides, Agent Orange.
And then one of the other big ones is chloracne or other form of acne-form disease consistent with chloracne. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Mm-hmm. It's a large one.
Okay. And then cancers of the
respiratory cancers, cancer of the lung, bronchus, larynx, or trachea, and prostate cancer
right.
is one of the other issues as well.
The other thing to point out about that is we've had considerable success. Again, you need to keep in mind this is all based on the fact that somebody's experienced a disability mm-hmm. and they should be right. appropriately compensated for it. Some of these disabilities have secondary or residual effects. And we, too, can prosecute claims to service connect those disabilities as well as secondary mm-hmm. to that condition.
If you have any questions out there with listeners, you know, give us a call this evening at 866-477-9100 or locally 734-822-1600, and maybe we can answer your, you know, some of your questions. We're not claiming to be experts on what to, you know, what will happen, but these two gentlemen can certainly help you through the maze of filing a claim with the VA. I think that's important. The reason I was asking that question is I was talking to a friend who is suffering from Parkinson's, and I didn't know if that was on the list or not.
No, not currently on the list, but they are looking at other medical conditions, and they're constantly doing studies. There is a center for Agent Orange mm-hmm. that puts out a monthly, or is it a quarterly newsletter?
It's quarterly, I believe.
I get that, right. Agent Orange Watch or something. Something like that I right. get in the mail periodically.
And there are other people, of course, the Vietnamese government, mm-hmm. The Australians, the British government, and some of our other coalition forces that were in Vietnam have also done their own studies. And that was one of the reasons, I think it was the Australians that added diabetes to their list. Mm-hmm. And that was what prompted our government to continue doing their studies about the connection between diabetes and Agent Orange.
I think of it from our listener standpoint, anybody out there who thinks they may have a problem there is to contact one of these two guys here at the Washtenaw County Veteran Services. And that number again is 734-973-4540.
Correct.
Okay. That's the number that you need to get to. And we're going to be taking a break here at the bottom of the hour. And I'm just warning Alan in there that we are ready to go. So we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Army Captain Ed Freeman flew 14 rescue missions under intense enemy fire, saving 30 seriously wounded soldiers. Details after this.
If you're a recent Air Force veteran, you probably spend some time comparing your new civilian life with what you had on the Air Force. Maybe the grass isn't as green as you thought it would be. Well, you might have a chance to come back. We're looking for people in certain career fields to return to active duty. Maybe your job's on the list. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on at airforce.com. Cross into the blue with the U.S. Air Force. No one comes close.
As a flight leader, Freeman supported a heavily engaged American infantry battalion in the I Trang Valley in the Republic of Vietnam. The unit was almost out of ammunition after taking some of the heaviest casualties of the war, fighting off a relentless attack from a highly motivated, heavily armed enemy force. When the infantry commander closed the helicopter landing zone due to intense direct enemy fire, Freeman risked his own life by flying his unarmed helicopter through a gauntlet of enemy fire time after time, delivering critically needed ammunition, water, and medical supplies to the besieged battalion. His flights had a direct impact on the battle's outcome by providing the engaged units with timely supplies of ammunition critical to their survival. After medical evacuation helicopters refused to fly into the area due to intense enemy fire, Captain Freeman flew 14 separate rescue missions, providing life-saving evacuation of an estimated 30 seriously wounded soldiers, some of whom would not have survived had he not acted.
The Medal of Honor.
For all you boating enthusiasts out there, now it's getting to be that time of year, and I want you to make sure that you give my friend Ray Schrader a call at Schrader Yacht Sales in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, our national sponsor here. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. Did you know, I bet you didn't know this, the first Chris Craft was built in 1874, and today that tradition continues. Wherever you go, it is a boat that is a destination in itself. Designed without compromise, it is exhilaration taken to the extreme. Whichever model you choose, each one will catch the eye, steal the heart, and fill your lungs with healthy outdoor air. Come into Schrader Yacht Sales to experience all of this for yourself. So give Ray a call again at 732-899-8010, and he promises he'll come all the way to Michigan if you need him to deliver his boats. That's Schrader Yacht Sales at SchraderYachts.com. SchraderYachts.com. And we're back on Veterans Radio. I apologize for the Medal of Honor there. It sounds like a little technical problem on the CD itself, I'm hoping. The other thing is that, Ray, I promise you I'm going to make a new ad. I think it's probably about time we start thinking about taking our boats out of the water instead of, you know, getting them. But he's in New Jersey. He'll still deliver your boat wherever you are. And anyway, so meanwhile, back here on Veterans Affairs, and Mike, you had something we were going to kind of transition into.
Yeah, but before the transition, Dale, I'd like to bring up something that you touched on earlier when we talked about the special outreach initiative that the Department of Veteran Affairs had going on, and this is regarding reductions. The issue is this. If a veteran's current service-connected disability and the rating assigned to it is less than 20 years old, there is the potential that they could be reduced. If we reopen a claim and say, hey, my claim's gotten worse, mm-hmm. and there's really no medical evidence to support it, and we rely on the compensation and pension examination that the VA hospital provides to get the medical evidence to prove that the condition's gotten worse, and they go over there and are examined and are found to be better, mm-hmm. then the VA can come back and propose to reduce the veteran. But this is only for those who do not have the 20-year protection. For those veterans whose ratings are 20 years or older, there is no possibility of being reduced, even if the medical evidence shows that the condition's gotten better.
Okay. Good to know.
But going back to the issue of Agent Orange, there was a recent Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims decision called Haas versus Nicholson that deals with a classification of veterans that have become known as the Blue Water Veterans. And it deals specifically with the Department of Veteran Affairs granting benefits for presumptive service connection for disabilities associated with exposure to Agent Orange for veterans who served in the territorial waters off the coast of Vietnam. And traditionally, the Department of Veteran Affairs has denied those claims because they promulgated a rule in their adjudication manual, the M21-1, Part 3, Paragraph 4.24E. And in that regulation, they specified that a veteran, of course, had to set foot in Vietnam one day to be eligible for the presumption of service connection. Well, the Court of Appeals for Veteran Claims disagreed. And they basically said in their Haas versus Nicholson decision that the Department of Veteran Affairs has to set aside that part of their manual because essentially they violated the Administrative Procedures Act when they published that particular mm-hmm. rule. Now, that means that right now, as it stands, the literal read on the regulation means that the Department of Veteran Affairs has to consider claims for service connection, presumptive service connection, for those veterans who served in the territorial waters offshore of the coast of Vietnam. Now, the outcome of this decision, of course, has had an impact on the Department of Veteran Affairs in determining what they're going to do with the decision. There was two routes suggested. They could rewrite that portion of the regulation and comply with the Administrative Procedures Act, or they could appeal the decision to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. The Department of Veteran Affairs that we know of at this point is going to appeal the decision. What the Department of Veteran Affairs has instructed their employees to do is they're going to receive those claims if they happen to come in. They're going to put them under control. They're going to assign a specific end product code to them that would allow them to easily identify these types of claims. And then they're just not going to do anything until the appellate procedure has completed its course. So for those veterans who feel like they want to pursue claims under the Haas v. Nicholson decision, you need to know that the Department of Veteran Affairs at this point has instructions to receive the claim, put it under the control, but they're not going to process the claim until the appellate procedure is completed.
If I could just add one little caveat to it, if the claim is submitted and has multiple issues, and some of those issues are not specific to this, they will process those. Mm-hmm. Those issues that have to be determined based on the Haas-Nicholson decision are the ones that will go under that. I think it was a 405E product, EP product or something like that. But again, if they had other issues that they were claiming service connection for that weren't mm-hmm. specific to that that connection, then they will process those.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So
we've gotten no real clear direction on how long it's going to take for them to actually get a decision back on this. So. Mm-hmm. Which is to say, as Michael pointed out, continue to process the claims or file the claims anyway. Just don't anticipate. You'll get a letter. The veteran will get a letter back saying we've received your claim. But until further instruction comes from central office, nothing's going to happen with it.
Right. And part of that regulation also mentioned being in receipt of the Vietnam Service Medal. So the way the Department of Veteran Affairs is going to screen these particular claims is in the following manner. They're considering a Haas issue as one where the veteran served in the Navy or has the Vietnam Service Medal, claims service connection for a disability recognized as resulting from herbicide or Agent Orange exposure, and does not state that he or she set foot on land in Vietnam or traveled upon its inland waters. So those are mm-hmm. the criteria that they're identifying as being related to the Haas versus Nicholson issue.
Well, I'd be kind of curious to find out how many people served in the Blue Water Navy over there, you know, and some of the ships that were offshore and how many of them, you know, ever set foot.
I have no clue. I don't want to speculate, no. But I have a feeling the VA, maybe early on when they made the decisions they did, anticipated that could be a substantial number.
Well, that's true.
And it might have been why they put the requirement they did initially on the presumptives in country.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to kind of touch with you gentlemen is that not only do you handle just health claims, but you can also help people clear up their medical records. And again, I'm using myself as an example because I gave you a copy of my DD-214, which I'd found an error on. And the error was that even as a helicopter pilot, I had only earned two air medals, and I was felt that I was entitled to more. You get these Oakley cluster for a certain number of hours mm-hmm. on and on. And after flying 1,200 hours, I figured, gee, it must be two because I didn't get any the cluster information that came with it. And you folks sent my request in, and it came back, and it found out that the unit that I had been involved with also had a presidential unit citation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's probably not unusual because after the war ended was when a lot of these presidential unit citations were issued. And because Vietnam was on this rotating basis where, you know, we came in and went out at different points, that there are probably a lot of our listeners out there that are not aware that their unit may have actually received a presidential unit citation in addition to some of the additional medals that they may have been entitled to, and that your office can help them locate those.
Yeah, we kind of promote ourselves as a full-service veteran service office, and that's just one of the things that we'll do. There are certain benefits that are available through the state of Michigan that we mm-hmm. are able to provide through our office as well. Oftentimes, a veteran may just need a copy of his service record, unable to locate theirs, failed to have it recorded at the time of separation, mm-hmm. and need it either for retirement purposes or just for their own personal records. And we're successful in getting those for them. We would like to think that whatever the circumstance is, that there's some way that our office could be of service to them or their family members.
Right, and the reissuance of medals is a large service that we provide to veterans as well as their surviving spouses. And correction to military records for those military mm-hmm. records that clearly have errors or there were injustices, we can assist veterans in the completion of the Department of Defense Form 149 to request that their military record be corrected. One of the medals that we like to get for our veterans is the Bronze Star Medal, and that's for our World War II veterans. Mm-hmm. Because during that period of time, if a veteran was awarded a combat infantryman badge and it's duly noted on their separation document that they received the combat infantryman badge, they were also entitled to a Bronze Star Medal. And many of them did not receive it, and the Department of the Army at that time was remiss in making sure that those mm-hmm. veterans received their awards while they were still in service. So a lot of times when we go and do a request for a reissuance of medals for our World War II veterans and we notice the combat infantryman badge on the service record, we ask that they include the Bronze Star Medal. And that's in addition to if they received a Bronze Star Medal.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. In and of their own right.
Oh, so there are times entitled to another one.
That's correct.
Yes, based on that CIV.
That's right. They're entitled to a second Bronze Star Medal, even if there's one listed on their service record.
And I know it can get confusing for some individuals when they look on their records and see that. It's the Bronze Star Medal is not to be confused with a Bronze Battle Star, which individuals would get for their specific campaigns that they mm-hmm. were involved in. It's actually just in terms of the pecking order, just beneath a Silver Star, Bronze Star Medal.
That's correct.
I would think, and I know in talking to a lot of older veterans in the last couple of years, that we found that a lot of them did not get the medals that they
right.
thought that they were entitled
to.
And they're probably, you know, they want to, they're kind of trying to put everything into order as they move on through life. And those things were important to them. And I'm finding in talking to these older men and women that their time in the military has turned out to be a very important part mm-hmm. of their lives, and that they had pushed it aside for so many
right.
years. And now they seem to be thinking about it more and more, mainly because a lot of their buddies are passing away or whatever, and people are keep talking about the Greatest Generation, and they're said, hey, you know, hey, I'm part of that
That's
generation.
Right. And it may also be the fact that this country is at war right now, which, believe it or not, a great majority of our population seems to not remember or give too much thought to.
Well, that's true, too. That is true.
We are a nation at war.
And it's probably going to get more intense as we get up closer to the election of people making us aware of what's happening out there. And I think it's important that we do pay attention to what's going on around us. That's something I'm going to I'll probably go off on that in about 10 minutes or so. We'll see with that. But I want everybody out there listening to know that it is important to, you know, to get those medals. You're entitled to them. You earned them. And if these folks can help you out, I've been noticing I had a friend who passed away recently, and I was out at a cemetery in Chelsea. And I noticed that people are getting they're entitled to a plaque from the VA.
Right, it's a government marker, flat bronze marker.
And they're putting them on the back of the granite marker.
That's allowed now, yes.
Yeah.
It has been for a few years. In the past, if you already had an existing marker, you could not get that government marker. But there was a law change. In
December 27th of 2001.
Okay, let me come back to that.
Right.
We need to take a break.
Sure.
You're listening to Veterans Radio.
After receiving my disability denial letter from the VA regional office, I felt I had nowhere else to turn. Then I contacted LegalHelpForVeterans.com. They did a thorough review, then went right to work on my case. Now I feel that I have someone fighting to resolve my claim.
Hi, I'm Jim Fossone of Legal Help for Veterans at the law firm of Fossone, Taylor & Bond. We have a nationwide practice in veterans' disability appeals and assisting veterans with getting the disability and pension benefits to which they are entitled. We are the leading veterans law firm in the state of Michigan. Our website, legalhelpforveterans.com, that's all one word, legalhelpforveterans.com, is your point of contact. Email or call me and we will personally look into your claim, whether the service-related problem is physical or emotional. If your case has been called too difficult or medically complicated, like with PTSD or Gulf War syndrome, you need lawyers that can forcefully present medical evidence and sophisticated arguments. Look us up on the web at www.legalhelpforveterans.com or call me or Mike Viterna at 248-380-0000. We are Veterans Helping Veterans at legalhelpforveterans.com.
Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. So said old Ben Franklin. Well, he would be very happy with the Sidetrack Bar and Grill. Located in Ypsilanti's historic depot town, Sidetrack Bar and Grill offers two happy hours. That's right, two. The first one is from 3 to 7 p.m., and the second from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. closing. Happy hours are 16 selections of 25-ounce drafts at a very special price. And, of course, bottled favorites of your lovable suds are also available to you at Sidetrack Bar and Grill. You may also choose from their full-service menu for appetizers, sandwiches, salads, and absolutely the best burgers, period. Deluxe buffet catering for any event is available, from sit-down dinners to theme parties. Sidetrack Bar and Grill does it all. Stop by at 56 East Cross Street, or call Sidetrack Bar and Grill at 483-1035 for more details. See you there.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we are talking with Mark Lindke and Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. And we were just discussing that every veteran out there now is entitled to the bronze plaque that you can attach to your gravestone if you want to. But there were some other issues that you wanted to talk about real quickly.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that there's entitlement to that government marker for any honorably discharged veteran whose death was after September 11th of 2001. Prior to that, if there was an existing marker, mm-hmm. then there was not entitlement to the government marker. It also includes those that were cremations and no actual burial. The family members, if they desire, could get a memorial niche, and it would be there's an option of either at the National Cemetery at Fort Custer or the newer one that we have now, the Great Lakes National Cemetery, which is out in Holly. And I know that Michael had an announcement on the National Cemetery and the observance they're going to have on the 11th. So,
will be a veterans memorial at Michigan's newest national shrine, Great Lakes National Cemetery. And it's to honor those who gave us our freedom. It will be November 11th, 2006, which is a Saturday. The time is 11 o'clock a.m., and the location, of course, is Great Lakes National Cemetery at 4200 Belford Road in Holly, Michigan. Now, for directions or for those that are interested in receiving more information, you can contact the Great Lakes National Cemetery staff at a toll-free number, 866-348-8603. Again, 866-348-8603.
Now, any veteran can be buried at the national cemeteries?
Yes, any honorably discharged veteran, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially Great Lakes National Cemetery, given that it's such a new facility. In fact, it's going to be developed over the next, I think, 7 to 10 years in 7 or 8 different stages. They're just in the initial stage mm-hmm. right now. So,
is there a cost involved with that for the veteran or the veteran's family?
No, there's no cost associated with burial in the National Cemetery. Obviously, the arrangements are made through the funeral home and the transportation. Once received at the National Cemetery, It's completely taken care of from the honor guard, the flag presentation, the marker. There's no expense mm-hmm. associated with that at all.
And just to remind family members that in addition to the veteran, the spouse of the veteran or the unremarried spouse of the veteran mm-hmm. is also entitled to burial there. They won't provide a separate plot. They will be buried in the same plot as their deceased spouse, one on top of each other. And then, of course, the Department of Veteran Affairs will provide a marker to identify that mm-hmm. site for the surviving spouse as well. As well as the unmarried children of veterans, is it just the disabled children or unmarried children?
Unmarried children, I believe. We might have an opportunity to bring in the director of the National Cemetery
and
pin him down on a few of these things. Yeah. Or call our office and we'll find out for sure.
Again, give me a chance here to plug your office. That's the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, and the number is 734-973-4540. And I also noticed that you do have a website.
Yes.
And where would I find that?
Through Washtenaw County government, actually, and I'm stumped on it here.
It's www.ewashtenaw.org. So since we have an e-government platform, they just put the E in front mm-hmm. of the county name. And so it's www.ewashtenaw.org.
Okay. It's a good site, too. I went in there looking for some information the other day and found some stuff out, who to call and all those things.
I had two other sites on my mind at the time, so that's my excuse for not remembering my own. But one of them that, if we have time, I wanted to share with you is through the state of Michigan, who's recently in the process of creating a joint council of Michigan veterans. And the website for that is www.michigan.gov/vet benefits, and it's actually housed through the Department of Labor, but it is specific to benefits available to veterans and their dependents at the state level, but it also has wonderful links to other veteran related agencies and activities, including county counselors, veteran service organizations. There's one particular icon you can click on that says if you need help, It'll bring you right to those. So that's a good site to make available to your listening audience.
Are there any specific benefits that somebody, say, listening that's in the state of Michigan that they are entitled to that they wouldn't be aware of?
Well, most veterans are not aware of the fact that there are essentially programs in the state of Michigan for veterans. And the one that most may be aware of, if they are, is the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund Emergency Grant Program. And that, again, is specific to veterans who served on active duty during a period of war, recognized warfare, and they served for at least 180 days or more. And they're experiencing what the regulations identify as a temporary unforeseen financial emergency. Now, the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund follows the rules. We do have to identify it as a temporary mm-hmm. Financial hardship, and we do have to deal with the unforeseen nature of it as well.
Okay, and where would they go to find that information?
They can come to Washtenaw County Veterans Services. Yeah, we have a local Michigan Veterans Trust Fund mm-hmm. committee that operates out of our office.
Okay, and so that theoretically, if somebody's out there having financial problems, temporary financial problems, they can come to our
office. There's another program that we administer that's at the county level, again, through the Veterans Relief Fund, that operates on a similar premise that they experience some sort of a temporary unforeseen emergency. And oftentimes we've been able to use the two programs together.
That's correct.
Along with other, we're fortunate, again, as a county agency to be aware of in our own community several mm-hmm. of the other programs that are available to individuals, not necessarily mm-hmm. based on their veteran status, but we can still access those programs. So, again, our feeling is, our belief is that if somebody comes to our office seeking assistance, they don't leave without some sort of positive either a mm-hmm. referral or actual assistance.
It's interesting. I wanted to kind of jump off of this just for a second because I got an email from somebody who's talking about a non-VSO that makes it appear as though it's, veterans are endorsing political candidates. And I was going to ask you if there's an organization called veterans-coalition.org, and they're supporting this happens to be going on in Pennsylvania with Senator Rick Santorum, and he got an endorsement from the National Vietnam and Gulf War Veterans Coalition. And so we went, you know, I kind of tried to check into this. There's a there's an organization out there called VAWatchdog.org. Larry Scott couldn't make it this evening. He was just wanted me to make sure that I mentioned this, that if VSOs normally do, are, or at least governmental VSOs don't normally endorse candidates specifically, do they, that you're aware
of? No, certainly our office wouldn't do that. I think probably, well, I know at the national level, I believe service organizations do. Mm-hmm. But that isn't anything that we would get into. Locally, the Washtenaw County Council of Veterans, which is made up of the member units of service mm-hmm. organizations, but at a grassroots level, if you will, is not into any political affiliations as mm-hmm. well. So it isn't any – that's no practice that we do at the county level, at the state of Michigan level through
Absolutely
our Michigan
not.
Association. In fact, the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers doesn't take any – there's no partisan politics there as well.
Okay. Well, I just want to
– specific
I
to that, veterans yeah. advocacy.
Yeah, and, well yeah. I bring that up because it's really important. I mean, a lot of us out there are starting to get a lot of emails and so on and so forth from veterans organizations.
Yeah.
Support this person, support that person.
I'd encourage people to really do a little research on that. It's not unlike some of the solicitation that you get for donations or contributions mm-hmm. to organizations. I'm not saying they're all good or they're all bad, but you need to really research that to make
Absolutely.
Sure they're legitimate.
Right. It really is important because this is an important election coming up. And as Michael mentioned, you know, we are at war, but there are also a lot of things going on a local level, that localized state and national level, that we have to be aware of. And as part of our mission statement on Veterans Radio is we, you know, all we ask of our politicians is that they, you know, that they keep their promises and they tell us the truth, and they get some work done. And unfortunately, in the last Congress in the last couple of years hasn't had, you know, been distracted by a lot of other things and hadn't really accomplished a whole lot. And so I'm not making a pitch to vote to throw the bums out, but you never know.
We need to keep our priorities right.
That's right.
We've
got to pay attention
to
what's going on out there.
One of those priorities should be our veterans.
Well, I think the one thing that we also need to mention in terms of the politics is that veterans were the ones who actually called the answer, or actually made the answer to the call to duty. And so we have something to, in a sense, still protect and defend.
Oh, absolutely.
And so being involved in our politics and our political processes here in the United States of America is one thing that our veterans are very aware of and should participate in, and make sure that our government is responsive mm-hmm. and accountable and provides what it is that we need as citizenry.
On that note, I want to thank both of you, Mark Lindke, the director, and
thank you, Dale.
Michael Smith, veteran service officer for the Washtenaw County Veteran Services. Again, you can give them a call. They'll answer any of your questions, or at least they'll find out the information for you. That's 734-973-4540. And I want to thank both of you for being on Veterans Radio this evening.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Coming up next week, we've got a great show, and I'm making a pledge right now for a call for help out there. We're doing a program on Iwo Jima. And as some of you may know out there, the Flags of Our Fathers by Brady is being made into a movie, and it's coming out on the 20th of October. And our guest next week is a gentleman named Hal Buell, and he has written a book entitled Uncommon Valor, Common Virtue. It's Iwo Jima and the Photograph That Captured America. We've all seen that picture of the Marines hoisting the flag up on Mount Suribachi. And he interviewed Joe Rosenthal, who recently passed away, and the book is dedicated to Joe and talks about this picture, this incredible photograph that we're all very familiar with. But next week, we're also going to be talking to people about Iwo Jima and the Flags of Our Fathers, and I'm hoping that Clint Eastwood will come on since he directed the movie. We've got our people talking to his people, and so we're hoping that that will happen. I want to thank our sponsors. Thank Alan. Thanks very much, Ingrid. And to all of you out there, have a great week. You are dismissed.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests and are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.